And now for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Hello and welcome to Shout Out.
On this week's show, we've got the King's Cross remix.
Yes, Tom Marshman is back with another exciting project.
And happily ever after.
Ivan's been talking to Paul Lawless about this thought-provoking show.
He's Andy Shilton and I'm Mitch Graham-McMorrow.
Taking you through the next hour, right here on Shout Out. That's what you call a computer freeze. That wasn't me. Nothing happened when I pressed the button.
Did it really echo or was it just on
no,
my headphones?
It didn't start, so I hit it again, and then when the computer kicked in, it did it twice. Okay. It's because the studio is really, really hot. The computer's overheating a little bit. It happens.
That's not the only thing that's hot in this studio. Yeah. Well,
the thing is, no one would have noticed. No one would have noticed.
Good evening.
Hi, Ivan.
You seem to have gone a little bit dead. Oh, do you know what? I think that's... have you been messing around with my headphones, Ms. Barnett?
Did you take his headphones off?
She's awful, honestly. I don't know. Yeah, I'm great.
Such
how are you?
A prankster.
So you just totally missed that joke then, didn't you?
I suddenly went deaf, but there you go. That's one of these
Steph
things.
Steph turned around and said that the studio's not... the computer's not the only thing that's hot in here. And I went, hello, Ivan, but you probably missed it.
I missed that, but thank you. I'll take that as a compliment because they don't come very often.
Now, very quickly, we don't do it very often, but we just want to say hello to all the listeners on all the stations. So we're really bad and don't always mention them. So a big hello to all of you here listening on our home station, BCFM 93.2, Glastonbury FM 107.1, Bradley Stoke Radio 103.4, Froome FM 96.6. Pirate Nation Radio and Bass Radio as well. So, and if you're also listening on a podcast, hello.
You are.
I just had to do that.
You'd have thought you could have done that off by heart by now.
Yeah.
That was off by heart. What are you talking about?
Oh, he wasn't reading the script or anything.
So now, can we just say from everyone at Shout Out as well, our hearts go out to all those that have been affected by the horrible blaze in the how do you pronounce it? It's Grenfell.
The Grenfell Tower.
Yeah, it's awful.
Really absolutely bad. Terrible. Yeah. It's really nice bad. To know that even though, you know, that this has been such a terrible tragedy, there are always heartwarming stories that come out of this. And there's one particular gay couple, same-sex couple, Lee and Jules. They had just moved into the tower 2 weeks before the tragedy.
Really, wasn't that?
It was just 2 weeks, yeah.
Oh,
and
my
they just happened not to be staying there that night. One of the boys, it was their birthday. The other one was working away. And so they were staying in a hotel overnight. It was just by chance. But they've lost everything, of course. But of course, they do have their lives. And a friend of theirs set up a Just Giving page for them for all the personal things they've lost. They've already raised £5,000, over £5,000 that they've donated. To these boys. But you know what? They've been absolutely selfless because one of them has said that even though it had been a horrible experience for them, there are so many other people in much worse positions than them. And they said if people want to donate, there are families with children who may not be as well off or have as many friends and families as us. And they said they're setting up fundraising drives and collections for duvets and clothes elsewhere. And we've seen on the news networks the tremendous response there. Mm. So it's nice to hear about a couple being so selfless and insisting that the money goes elsewhere.
Did you see that other couple who went on the day went and drew £1,000 out their bank account, which is all they had in the account, and then went around giving £100 to anyone who
was hungry, so
that they could live and get food.
Yeah.
How nice. Also, so it's like Adele families. Turned up very low key.
She did. Yes. She?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I know Jamie Oliver basically just opened up his restaurant for free to feed those that have been made homeless and stuff like that. And there's so many selfless. It's lovely to know that we have such good communities in this country that things like that happen, isn't it?
Well, you only need to look at the London reaction to the bridge and Manchester. Yeah. The reaction wasn't hate. The reaction was one of love and coming together.
Well, even hating the haters makes you a hater, doesn't it? You know, that's the kind of, you know, when people have a sense of forgiveness and just compassion, which is really important
exactly,
to
Mitch.
See.
Exactly.
It's really important.
And it was good to see all the places of worship opening up their doors and helping all these people that needed help. It's a really, really, really good, strong sense of community.
It was nice to see the Muslim community working alongside the Jewish community. Christians, yeah. both yeah. Protestant, Catholic, all working yeah. together. There was
yeah, no borders.
Help
yeah.
groups. No, exactly. Yeah. It was and you know wonderful what? To see.
Sometimes all people wanted was a hug and to be recognised, and that's all they wanted. I saw Jeremy Corbyn was walking around giving people hugs. I know Adele, we've already mentioned, was yeah. giving hugs. Yeah. So,
Theresa May wasn't, but we'll go there.
Apparently not. No, she was there, but no hugs from Theresa. Yeah. There you go.
Yes. Not saying a thing.
Just a little wave, if they were lucky.
A distant wave.
Still. Anyway, right, Steffi, should we get some events?
Okay.
So, are we going to kick it off saying what day it is today?
It's Thursday.
No, but it's a special
it's
day.
It's a special day.
It's Idol Day.
Oh, she's latex
bone
stuff.
Bone idol she is.
International. You just sit on your hands. I don't trust you.
International Day of Latex. Yes, yeah, so rather a lot
day
of people.
Of latex.
Yeah, rather a lot of people wearing rubber underneath their workwear.
Woo-hoo.
All over the country today.
Squeak,
especially
squeak.
In Manchester and here in Bristol.
What,
I'm sure.
So you must be able to hear them coming, squeaking.
Unless they've got lots of talcum powder.
Okay, hands up. Who's got their latex underwear on?
Is this a voice of experience, Mitch?
Yes, actually, Andy. I will own up to having tried my luck on a latex dress, which took me about an hour and a half to get out of.
This cannot be the weather to
panicked,
have latex.
I panicked.
Day. No, you need lavender talc. That's the secret, apparently.
Yes.
So. Except it makes you smell panic. Like nappies. It's not lavender talc.
Or Nanny's bottom drawer, maybe.
Nanny's bottom drawer.
Right. Anyway, well, sorry, Steph. Well, what events are we doing?
That's
then?
The events section done then. Over to the next section. Who's on next? Events cancelled right across yeah. right across shout
it's
out.
It's latex
Facebook.
Day.
No out. Shout because it was hijacked.
Sorry, I had to get it in. You know there's a huge community
you
out
like
there
getting
that
it
like,
in,
like
Andy.
Rubber.
We know. You can't wait. Okay, Ty Jeffries is going to be doing a show called The Devil Made Me Do It. It's the original songs of Miss Hope Springs. Julian Clary commented, tragicomic genius. Jonathan Ross, the greatest star that never was, sings the greatest hits that never were. Wow. What a claim to fame. That's one for your
grand.
Show, Ivan.
What, that greatest is. Hits that never
your
were?
Your showtime.
Yeah. When the star that never was.
Air?
I like the
your
idea.
Showtime?
On BCFM? At 1 o'clock
anywhere.
Every Tuesday. 1 o'clock every Tuesday. Or Pirate Nation on a Sunday as well. At 3 o'clock.
Hot man.
There you go.
Get it in.
Yeah, plug. Shamelessly plug. This is happening at Bath at Chapel Arts Centre, St James's Memorial Hall, Lower Barrow, Walls. The postcode for that, if you have a pen and pencil, is BA11QR. And that's Friday the 23rd of June and
if
Saturday
you,
the 24th.
If I know you, it's on the website too, isn't it? It's the event.
It is. Will be now you've told me.
Such a pro.
There you go, ladies
you
and gentlemen.
You knew that. You knew that.
It'll be there later.
You're just tricking. You're
the
just...
pro, but I know. Yeah. Thanks, Ivan. It's the red bag, isn't it? And the 6-inch high heels that give it away.
Were they 6-inch or 8?
Actually, they're 5. I'm too old now for 6.
I'm not saying a thing. Should we move on?
Are they latex? No, sorry.
I bet you can get latex high heels.
Oh, you
really?
Definitely
yeah. can, yeah.
How much time have I got now?
Probably
out of time.
Could get latex
2 minutes.
Boots.
Okay. Right, walk out. Now, as the weather's going to be absolutely superb for the next month, mm-hmm. it's going to be about 28 to 30 degrees this Sunday. The warning is, walk out around Bristol. Even if you're outside Bristol, make your way into Bristol.
Don't forget suntan lotion.
Yeah, okay. Yes, of course.
Or hats.
Yes. Or hats. Hats are good. Mm. Hats are good.
Parasols.
on the 21st of June, there's a statue walking tour. Okay.
A statue walking tour?
Yeah.
That sounds like a Doctor Who episode.
It means that all the statues around Bristol get off their plinths and go for a walk.
But only when you close your eyes. Isn't that the way it works?
Yeah, that's the Weeping Angels. Yeah.
Oh, well done. Well remembered there, Mitch. It's Meet at the Watershed, and it's 30 minutes introduction walk for we will be enjoying the sights and sounds of Bristol Harbourside before walking to Brandon Hill. Hills involved, hills,
well,
warning.
It's also the summer solstice, isn't it? So it's longest day.
Oh, is it?
Yes.
What, this weekend?
No, 21st.
Oh, 20, all right, okay. Yeah.
Right, so get yourself on down to the Harbour Shed. So it's Meeting at the Watershed, that one, on the 21st of June. That was, and the next one is the 25th of June. That's the Downs Walk. Meet at the Watershed again at 1 p.m. The previous one was 10:30 in the morning.
Oh, okay.
Should we have a tumbleweed moment before the jingle kicks in?
Well, you didn't say that's
you're
it.
Right.
Is
you
it,
know,
you
have you seen how tardy his right index finger is on those keys?
It was twitching a little bit. Twitching
that's
over
it,
the key.
I think.
Ready to go.
Andy.
Know,
okay, right.
Cut them off.
I'll blame it on age.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
That's Imagine Dragons and Believer. So are you saying you'd use that one for Zumba?
Yeah,
you?
I'm going to incorporate that in my Zumba.
Isn't that a bit slow for Zumba? I thought Zumba was really
dancey. You could
dancey.
Definitely do some, you know, some concentrated squats with that one.
Right, okay.
I've got it in my mind already. Yeah, I know, you look suspicious.
I've never done Zumba. Never done Zumba. Have you done Zumba, Tom?
Not to my knowledge.
No.
You probably have.
I was enjoying your moves that you were sort of
putting
out there a little bit.
I thought I should get off the table so that you could actually interview you instead of zumbering in your face. Sorry, Tom.
You have zumbered in this studio several times, actually,
over
the years, I think,
I have,
haven't you?
Yes.
So. Anyway, welcome back to Tom Marshman. Hello. Lovely to have you back on the show again.
Lovely to be here.
Yeah.
So, now, before we go, because we're going to talk about some of the events that you've got going on in Pride Week, aren't we? But before we do, just for the listeners that don't know you as well as we do, give them some kind of idea of your background and what you get up to.
Well, I'm a performer, a theatre maker and a writer. I live in Bristol and I've been making work for probably about 20 years now. I do loads of different things. So I do like one-man theatre shows, but I also do like cabaret spots. And I quite often work with historical kind of contexts like archive stuff. And I'm currently working with the National Trust on a project with their Prejudice and Pride programme, which is all about LGBT histories within their houses, really. So I'm always doing stuff. I'm like...
Mm. I think you were just one of our first guests,
productive.
Right back 7 years ago when Shout Out started, you were doing the Pretty Polly. Do you remember?
I did a show called Legs 11 and I was on here talking about that. And a show went to Edinburgh. Yeah, it was a fun show. I've got one of the best legs in the country. Yes. I don't know if that title still holds.
Just one of the best legs. sorry, listeners, Tom does actually have two legs as well, so just to let you know.
Now, of course, in good fashion, you're doing some of the events in the week run-up to Pride, aren't you?
Yeah, the lead-up to Pride.
A lot of people forget that Pride isn't just the main event that we have on the Saturday, of course. It goes
well,
on
for me, it's my favourite part, the lead-up.
Yeah, the lead-up and all the different events as well.
So much going on, and every year there's more, isn't it?
So, yeah.
Now, you're kicking off with your first shows on the Friday, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like it is a show, I guess, but it's more like a sort of performative tour of the Red Lodge Museum, which is on Park Row. I don't know if anyone has ever been there.
Yes,
is that but the
it's
top kind of the.
It's a hidden gem, I think.
It is a hidden gem, and it's quite hard to get in. But once you get in,
it's at the top
it's
of that cobbled street.
Yeah,
yes,
The opening times are quite specific.
Yeah, like Thursday afternoon between 3 and 5 or something.
But they've opened it up for us with some persuasion.
Great.
So I'm working with two other artists, Catherine Hoffman and Timberlina, and we've reimagined the portraits on the walls to be profiles on dating apps like Grindr, Tinder, Scruff. All those kind of garden soulmates, those kind of things. And so it weaves a little bit of history, like real history about these people, and something that's reimagined, like, you know, what they might be like in their bedroom, perhaps.
What do they get up to? What's the story behind the pictures? So, you know, that's a brilliant idea. What inspired you to come up with that? Was there a particular picture or?
Well, initially we did it at the National Portrait Gallery. So when we just were asked to do something there, we were just walking around the gallery and like looking at these portraits and just thinking, Well, the kind of usual way that you just see hundreds and hundreds of portraits these days are like if you're scrolling through those dating apps. So
yeah.
we kind of just took it one step further and just went the whole way with it. In the walkabout tour, we have kind of moments where we sing like little serenades at some of the portraits, and
aww,
I do a version. Like there's one portrait of this very austere looking fella, and I've reimagined him to be like someone that might be both interested in boys and girls, and so I reworked the classic Britney Spears song Womanizer to be Womanizer Manonizer.
Nice. Oh, I think it's just a great idea, because obviously the world has changed, and you know, when you think all those portraits would have been the only time somebody would have seen an image of somebody else as well, you know. Yeah. Nowadays it's just we're bombarded, aren't we? We're bombarded with different images of people and beauty and the idea of
it's that. All I feel like it's also about reclaiming those spaces as somewhere, as a places that LGBT people can feel like their stories are represented, even though those portraits might be of straight people. Why can't we just reinterpret them? Because those histories aren't necessarily represented in those spaces. Because is often just like white heterosexual men that we see there. So,
well, we also know that a lot of LGBT history was kind of white, not necessarily totally wiped out, but hidden for a long time while it was
hard,
very under the, you know. I know we talked to people like OutStories before, and they've said, yeah, there's actually a lot of queer history out there. You just, it got hidden for a while because of the inequality that was around at the time. So it is possible that some of them are.
Yeah.
So that's happening on the Friday.
And the Saturday.
Oh, right. Yeah. Okay, it's a two-day thing. Yeah. So
and we've got like a little pop-up bar, so it would be like a kind of glamorous, fun event, I think.
Oh, no, so you have to dress up, or is it?
You can dress up, but you can dress down. I don't really mind.
You could come in our pyjamas, I bet. You'd be fine.
I'll be wearing a ruff, of course.
Of course you will. So, look, a rough what? A rough collie, or, you know?
A Tudor ruff, not rough around the edges. No. Well, I probably will be, but not intentionally.
Now, is it something I can just turn up to? Or do I
have to book, because this is one of the things I think that, because it's limited capacity, because it's a very small venue.
Right.
So we can only pick probably 40 on each tour. So, yeah, have to book. You can book through the Pride website. Also, you can book through the Museum Service website.
Great. And
that's
on the front.
£10 in advance, £12 on the night. Is that right, I'm reading?
So, yes, £12 and £10 for concession.
Oh, right. Okay, cool. Great. And that's 7:30 both nights, isn't it?
Yeah, turn up at 7:30 and there'll be a bar and some activities to get involved in.
Great. Have a quick drink before you go on your tour, that kind of thing.
And then, obviously, you've got your King's Cross Remix tour as well. So,
my show, King's Cross Remix, I've been touring and I just did 2 weeks in London of it. This one feels quite special for me because I didn't originally plan this show when I was doing the tour bookings, and then it came later. So I ended up doing a crowdfunding campaign to get the show to Pride. Mm-hmm. And so lots of people donated because they really wanted it to happen in Bristol again. And I'm doing it at Zion Arts Centre, which is like a really cute venue.
Yeah. Yeah, and we've also had them in, actually, the women that run that.
Yes, Tanya and her girlfriend.
Tanya and Jess, and they really are up for having all sorts of LGBT kind of performances and
I think,
arts events, you know.
I think Pride really wanted it not... Pride lead up not just to be city centre focus, so it's further out, you know, if the city... But I think that's a good thing, really.
Is it Bedminster, Windmill Hill? It's that,
it's
that kind of area,
Bishop's
isn't it?
Bishopsworth.
Bedminster Down, I think.
Bedminster Down.
Mm. Now, what's the show about if people haven't heard of it?
So it's about people that lived in the King's Cross area in the 1980s, specifically. But the themes are much more general, really, because that's the time when kind of HIV and AIDS was really making an impact into real people's lives, and kind of people would be like... aware of that coming through. It's also about just feeling politically disenfranchised, which I think is like the spirit of the mood right now also. And it's also about regeneration, really, because that area that you're talking about, histories being erased, well, in King's Cross that it feels really relevant because it's really shiny, glassy, you know, beautiful place now. And all of those hangouts are disappearing or gone already.
So what do you think made it so popular? Is there a bit that particularly stands out for you? Because you said people wanted you to bring it to Bristol.
Oh, well, I don't know about that. Maybe maybe just people like it as a show. But I think that... Do you mean like why was King's Cross so popular or why people...
Yeah.
I think King's Cross was popular for LGBT people because it was a kind of like... It was off the radar, but still very central. It was kind of darkly lit most of the time. It was like... There was still a lot of areas that hadn't been rebuilt since the bombing of the war. So it was a place where people could just reclaim and be who they wanted to be.
Yeah.
Go to warehouse parties, be completely radical and crazy, as well as, you know, just get involved in political action.
Yeah, and it was quite central wasn't it, really, in that way.
Totally.
I know we've Short and Girly performed years ago in King's Cross Pub, which the name eludes me now, but yes, that was very much, you know, synonymous with the gay scene, you know, very kind of dark.
Well, 80s, 90s, yes. It was, yeah. I mean, I was 18 in 96, and even then the clubs were hidden down. I don't know if you were here then. There was a club called Just, and it was literally a corridor, and it was dark, and it was hidden away. And
I remember Just.
And that was very much like the clubs of the time. They were hidden, so.
Yeah.
It's nice they're not so much now.
Yeah, that's what's happened, hasn't it, really?
Yeah, we've exploded onto the dance floor.
So what can people expect when they turn up then? Is this an interactive one, or is it very much a...
There is a moment of interaction, but it's very gentle and people don't really have to do it if they don't want to. It's mostly me talking, really, but I kind of am the conduit of these people's stories. So there's like... I interviewed 10 people and all of those stories are represented and I speak their words in lots of different ways, and there's projections as well of the Bell Pub, which is where a lot of the stories are centred, really, which is in the heart of King's Cross. Luckily, I found this really old footage of someone walking through the Bell Pub, and it's great.
Oh, fantastic.
There's also really old footage of Jimmy Somerville on this film that was made for Channel 4 called The Revenge of the Teenage Sexual Perverts, where he's singing this fantastic song. And also the kind of horrific, HIV information advert. Kind of thing.
Oh, are you on about Tombstone?
Tombstone.
All those early adverts around AIDS. Yes, they were just really shocking, weren't they? And nowadays, you just think, I know the approach was probably quite bulldozy then, wasn't it? Like, in your face.
Yeah.
Would you ever be tempted to make a Bristol version?
I have made a Bristol version.
Oh, have you?
Yeah, Move Over Darling. It wasn't set in the 80s. It was more just through interviewing older LGBT plus people about their memories of the city.
I've seen that,
and I did it as a theatre show. I did it as a walking piece as well,
fantastic.
Through the old city. I've remade it at the M Shed as well.
Yes.
And that is on Wednesday the 5th of July, so it's the middle of the week, isn't it?
That's right, yeah.
And that's 7:30 for an 8 o'clock start.
That's right.
Is that one you need to get tickets beforehand as well?
Well, I would recommend it, obviously, yeah. I think it's a good idea.
It's always a good idea. To avoid disappointment.
Yeah, get prepared.
Yes.
That's £8 and £6 concession. Yeah. Sorry, Tom, I'm doing your job here.
It's not my job.
tell me, because you've also then got a workshop.
I'm running a workshop with this fantastic artist called Karen McLeod, who is also known as Barbara Brownskirt. And she is just a brilliant poet and a writer. She's worked on the Polari touring literary salons. And so I've invited her in for the day just to work with writers or aspiring writers. You get lunch included. I think it's 11:30 till 2:30. So you get lunch. We'll do some creative writing and she'll give us some tips.
And that's on the 5th of July.
Yes, that's before
same
your
day.
Same
day.
Fantastic. Yeah.
That's before King's Cross.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, that's cool. Great. You could have a whole day.
Yeah.
Yeah, just spend the whole day in the Zion.
Lovely.
Tanya and Jess won't say no to that, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Well, cool. It sounds brilliant. And we will actually be going through a lot of the events that are going on in the week. Darren's coming in a few weeks' time to fill us in.
Yeah.
I just wanted
to come in to give you the heads up, because some of the smaller events might get lost sometimes when you're thinking about Belinda Carlisle, who I totally love. But
Ooh, baby.
Yeah.
You know,
well, I particularly like the Go-Go's. really. I'm still stuck on that.
I think it's always
a hard one when we've got Darren, because there is so much in the prize.
It's all jam packed.
And as much as we try and fit as much into the show as we can, you can't physically mention everything. So it is really good to get you in and talk about it. So they sound like really exciting projects. So I really hope they go well.
Thank you.
And it's nice to have tickets. Some homegrown projects as well. Can I just say?
I'm a local boy.
Yeah, local boy. You know, local boy makes good performance.
Not quite good, yeah.
But we do have to say we hear rave reviews about your stuff.
We do.
So every time you've got an event on, it comes across our radar, and we always hear really good things about it. So it's well worth going and checking them out. So listen, Tom, it's been lovely to catch up with you.
And you,
I'm sure we will see you at Pride, if not during the week. Stay in touch, because you do lots of events and they're all good. So
all right.
Yeah. Anyway, thank you, Tom.
Stay with us. News coming up next. You're listening to Shout Out.
The Shout Out Podcast.
There you go. That's the lovely Bashima with her new song, Tell Her. I really like that. It's lovely, isn't it?
Mm.
So there's a YouTube video, and it's her actually playing the piano and singing
as well. Yeah, she's really nice to watch live, actually. She's really sweet. You know, comes across really sweet. Got some lovely little tunes going on. Yeah. Thanks, Bashima.
Yeah. Anyway, should we get some news headlines?
This is Shout Out News on Thursday, the 15th of June.
It's been reported that a priest in the deeply anti-gay Russian Orthodox Church has accepted a gift of a brand new top-of-the-range car by making the bizarre claim that Jesus of Nazareth accepted similar expensive gifts. Archbishop Nektari made the remark on accepting a new 4x4 car. Now, most theologians agree that, on the contrary, Jesus lived a life of voluntary poverty and ministered to the poor and outcast over the rich and wealthy.
Vigils across Orlando marking the first anniversary of the Pulse nightclub shootings, the worst mass gun crime in event in new history, went largely as planned. However, the vigil at the site of the Pulse nightclub itself was disrupted by Christian fundamentalists who carried signs which would have been deeply sick had they not been so poorly written. One such placard warned that "Fogoots will burn in hell." A Christian extremist, Daniel Maguire, was arrested after ignoring polite requests that he move away from the club. Mayor of Orlando, Bobby Dyer, said, "Following the Pulse tragedy, we showed the world that Orlando would not be defined by the act of hate-filled killer, but instead defined by a response of love, compassion and unity."
Kingswood Diversity Festival is to take place on Saturday the 15th of July. The five-hour event will kick off at midday and be hosted at the Kingswood Estate in Britannia Road. There'll be live performances, music, well-being therapies, food and special zones for children and young people. The festival's free and aims to celebrate all aspects of the Kingswood community.
We're in the middle of Men's Health Week here in the UK, an initiative to try and address the often poorer state of men and boys' health compared to women's. This year's focus is on men's struggle with weight. Gay men are often portrayed as being more health conscious than straight men, and indeed many do regularly attend a gym, but there are also those who celebrate larger sizes through the bear subculture. If you'd like to find out more about how the different issues in the body size debate affect the LGBT and feminist communities, we've linked to the contrasting debates on our website.
The general election, which took place last week, was one of the most exciting in years. With an upset for the sitting government, a surprise surge for a leftist platform in the Labour Party, and more LGBT MPs elected than in any previous parliament, the effects of the election will be felt for a very long time. In the Shout Out Radio region, the main news of the evening was the loss of Bristol North West by the Conservative Charlotte Leslie. Ms. Leslie had sat on the fence with regards to equal marriage, and although it's not known how the LGBT vote panned out in her constituency, local campaigning by LGBT activists may have helped swing the outcome in the seat, which was won by the Labour candidate Darren Jones.
With the dust settling on the election, Tim Farron, leader of the Liberal Democrats, has quit the party, triggering a new leadership contest. Mr. Farron cited speculation on his beliefs as an evangelical Christian to be turning the spotlight away from the issues he really wanted to campaign on. Some LGBT activists, along with atheist campaigners, had wanted Mr. Farron to step aside after he appeared to flip-flop on whether he thought gay relationships were sinful. However, Mr. Farron was robustly defended by the Liberal Democrats' LGBT group.
Staying with the general election, political gay activists will be pleased to note that there was little support for expressly homophobic parties in England, Wales and Scotland. The far right is at a low ebb, with only a handful of candidates for splinter factions such as the English Democrats and the BNP being fielded. All of them lost their deposits, as was the case for the Christian People's Alliance, a party which seeks to impose an effective theocracy and whose platform is based solely around suppressing gay and transgender people. In Maidenhead, where they contested the Prime Minister's seat, they garnered the princely sum of 69 votes, which caused some mirth amongst commentators.
Finally, a march for bisexual pride has taken place in Tel Aviv, Israel, as part of wider celebrations for Pride Week. The march was held up briefly by another demonstration of gay and bi activists who opposed Israel's policy towards Palestine. Pictures from the Bi Pride March, the first of its kind in the Middle East, are available to view now at Pink News, which is linked to on our website.
For these news stories and more, visit our website at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
For Shoutout News, this has been Niall Addicott
and Ivan Jackson.
Shoutout News,
national and international LGBT news for you.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Oh. No, it's not over yet.
Oh, I know, I thought, oh, what's a run?
That's a Panic at the Disco and Emperor's New Clothes.
It was Panic at the Studio, just
it was, there. A little bit, yeah. But, took me by surprise.
No, made Mitch jump.
It certainly did.
So we did that. I did that one Halloween, actually, didn't I? Do you remember I replaced the beginning of the jingle and it went, and now for something completely, and then there was a scream and you literally jumped out your seat.
Oh my God, because I hadn't heard it, yeah, obviously. Andy surprise, Halloween surprise, thanks.
So we've had a few of those. We flooded the studio once as well, didn't we?
Yes.
When we took the mickey out of them saying that we could cast thunderstorms and floods and the
like. Oh, that's
remember?
Right, yeah.
We did a spoof of it.
It was because gay marriage was... legal, it was causing the floods, wasn't it?
Well, whatever you do, don't say the D word, drought, because otherwise we'll have 40 days and 40 nights of rain.
Oh, I thought I thought by D word you meant UP.
No, we're not talking about that. Let's not give them any.
No, really, please.
Now, Ivan.
Yes.
Who is Paul Lawless, please?
Now, he's a Bristol-based actor. He's been around in the region for quite a few weeks, and if you cast your mind back to last year's Pride, there was a theatre evening of three or four different acts, actually. He was one of the acts. He brought one of his plays to the Pride evening. He's touring with that play again this year and in time for Pride season, and he's adjusted it and adapted it and just revamped it, basically. And I had a chat with him about his life as an actor and the play. Now, please do be talking today to actor and theatre maker Paul Lawless. Paul, hello.
Hello.
Paul, you're based in the Bristol area. You've been involved in theatrical productions throughout the region. In fact, you've got one coming up that we'll talk about shortly. But how did you start out?
I think the first thing I did when I was young, I remember being in like school productions, like the Nativity. I think I remember really wanting to sing, and I really liked the idea of singing. So I joined like the church choir. That my primary school was affiliated with. I joined the choir, and I remember like really enjoying the singing. And then from the singing, I kind of transferred into kind of like musical theatre, like doing stuff in like youth theatre.
So that's your big thing, is it musical theatre as well? You loved it. You used to like doing that anyway.
Yeah, and then I kind of the acting thing that kind of took over really, and I kind of moved more into that kind of field. So it kind of went from like one end to the other.
So did you end up going to theatre school?
No, I didn't.
That's amazing, because, you know, a lot of people do, a lot of people don't. It's about 50-50, yeah. I guess, and you end up doing it. How did that work?
I don't know. I think it's a combination of just kind of, like, working really hard, being really driven, really passionate about it, and kind of also applying myself to, like, the technical side of it. Like, I had a lot of private tutoring. The Birmingham School of Acting, their ex-head of voice retired in the town where I lived, so I just kind of, like, latched onto her, and she kind of like drilled me, like drilled it all into me, and instilled me with a sense of technique and kind of an awareness of theatre practices. And kind of from that, I just kind of went from there, really.
So you just went for various different parts and you got them?
Yeah, well, yeah, I did stuff, yeah. Done, like, small-scale touring, like, outdoor theatre in the summer. And I kind of just kind of shifted into the more kind of theatre-making kind of route, really, and explored that side of it, which I really, really enjoy. It's hard work, but it's great fun.
So yeah. you're an associate artist for a Brave Bold Drama Theatre Company. They're based in Bristol. Their strapline is drama for education and community. What does that involve?
Yeah, good question. So basically, Jill lives in South Bristol in Withywood, which is quite a culturally deprived area.
And she's somebody you work with a lot.
Yeah, she's also collaborating with me on my solo stuff. And she has this kind of vision. She previously was a secondary school teacher for years, and she really believes in kind of utilizing drama to kind of really enrich people's lives, but also kind of like she possesses this idea, this notion that kind of theatre is for everyone. It's a really malleable art form, and anyone can kind of explore and experiment within it. And I love that. So,
and you go into schools as well. And
really do that strand with her. I do primarily like the theatre writing and making aspect, which kind of does. We've toured like community centres and areas where kind of it's more kind of outreachy. But we do tour to like conventional theatres, fringe theatre venues, so there is that aspect. But I deal with that aspect of the company with her, and also with the venue that she's just kind of taken the lease on of. And so that's kind of the sort of work I do with her.
So you're quite a community-minded person, then. That's an important aspect of your work, isn't it?
Yeah, totally. I think in the political climate that we're living in, I think it's really important. And I think I live in that community as well in South Bristol, so I'm very aware and very in touch with kind of pots of funding and
which is drying up,
yeah,
in many places.
I mean, there are certain things available, but I mean, it's looking a little bleak at the moment. So, but I mean, I think the idea is to kind of provide for those. There's provisions because a lot, you know, this cultural elite kind of notion whereby it's not. We speak to a lot of people in South Bristol, like, well, it's not for us. We don't really explore creativity and a creative outlet.
Right, but it's your job to get it out there.
Yeah, and show them actually, yeah, it could be.
Right, well, tell me about your upcoming show. Okay. Appropriately, it's on during Pride season, isn't it? It's called Happily Ever After. Tell me about that.
So, Happily Ever After is a solo performance piece inspired and based upon my own experiences app dating and dating through technology.
Say that again, app dating. So this is using apps on your phone or your tablet device.
Yeah, sort of essentially, or yeah, like digital devices. And basically it involves kind of various scenarios, situations that I've encountered, but it kind of, there's one kind of temple event where unfortunately I was sexually assaulted, and that's kind of the pivotal kind of part of the story, but kind of around that is other things.
So it sounds really serious, but actually, now, I've seen this show. It was actually part of the Bristol Pride theatrical celebrations last year. I know I believe you've updated the show. You changed it completely, but I just want to get across to people, although what you've just talked about is quite serious in nature, actually, there's a lot of comedy in the show as well, isn't there?
I'm very, like, self-effacing. I don't take myself too seriously, and I think with anything, if you deal with quite a hard-hitting subject matter, you've got to kind of, you can't go in all guns blazing, and like, you've got to, and there's a lot of music as well, so that kind of cushions the blow somewhat. But it is about a multitude of things. It's not just, the focus isn't just on that, but it's quite broad in that sense, but that is the kind of the linchpin of it, this idea of app dating and technology, and how that's kind of means how we approach dating and how we meet people is kind of changed.
And it's a one-man show. And you're talking about technology, you must be using a lot of technology in the show as well. What are the challenges of doing a one-man show?
I think, like, the music and stuff as well, because that's been a bit of a challenge, because, you know, you have an idea musically and then lyrically, and then you're like, this is what I want to go for, and I'll approach, because I'm not so much a musician in the sense where I can compose a complete melody and stuff for a song. I have chord ideas and maybe melody ideas, and then lyrically I'll have a concept or a lyric written, and then I'll go to Jill and I'm like, this is my idea, and then she'll kind of breathe life into the idea.
So she's your composer and she pulls it all together for you.
Yeah, so that in its own kind of field has posed problems. But I think then once you have a song, and you can't have every song as a demo, which is just like piano or ukulele or guitar. It has to have something else.
Obviously, this is adult content as well. This isn't something you'd probably bring the kids to.
No, it's 16 plus.
16 plus.
Yeah.
And tell us where it's on. It's on during Pride season. I know you're about to go on tour with it at the moment, but yeah. In and around Pride, what date is it on and where is it on, more importantly?
So it's at the Bristol Improv Theatre on right. the 5th of June.
And where is the Improv Theatre, in case anybody doesn't know where it is?
Near the Triangle, just off White Ladies Road.
It's at the Bristol Improv Theatre at the Triangle off White Ladies Road. Paul Lawless, thank you for talking to me.
That's okay.
And break a leg for the show.
Thank you very much.
For more information about Shoutout Radio, visit us online at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Shoutout.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shoutout Podcast.
That's Galantis. Peanut butter jelly.
Just caught me saying strong taste.
Yum, yum.
So, you see, peanut butter jelly sandwich, I think you're gorgeous.
I've had peanut butter on toast since I was two every morning since.
Did you?
Yeah.
That's a lot of years.
Every day of my life, I've had peanut butter on toast.
It explains why you're so nutty, really, doesn't it?
Come on, Mitch. That is 98.
Peanut butter and jams.
Yes.
Peanut butter and jams much nicer than peanut butter and lemon curd.
Oh, you haven't tried lemon curd with peanut butter, now?
Oh, what about Marmite in lemon curd?
Oh,
it's like one of those.
Have you tried it?
No, it's like one of those sandwiches. The you know, the Vicar Dibley and the what was the woman's name? The
Alice.
The old lady who used to come up with all the really bizarre cakes and sandwiches.
Anyway. Oh well,
died recently as well.
All you got to do is put mustard in your lemon curd jar, and that fool people.
Can we just say there was a correction to earlier show statement it was said to meet at the water tower, did I say, instead of watershed?
Did you?
Yes.
I don't know. We had a listener call in and tell Steph to get a grip. And
she's just explained she's eaten peanut butter every day since two, so she's a little bit nutty.
Yeah, it's bound to have done something to the brain.
Who writes your script?
You.
Wednesday the 21st of June, it's at the Watershed, and that's at 10:30 a.m. for the statue walk. That's the one where the statues get off the plinth.
Yes.
That's going to be magic day.
Yeah.
All the statues get off their plinths in Bristol on the 21st.
Only when you close your eyes.
Only for the gay people walking out.
Well, Doctor Who fans.
Well, yes. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I don't know how those two are mixed together. I don't know how you mix those two together.
What, Doctor Who and gay?
Yeah.
I thought only gay people watched.
Yeah,
Doctor Who.
Well, isn't she lesbian in this series?
Oh, she is. Yes. Yeah, the assistant is. Yes.
Because there was an uproar by the usual kind of people, wasn't there?
Mm.
The Daily Mail was just like, oh, it's outrageous.
Well, I wrote to the Daily Mail complaining.
Did you? Yeah. Well, seriously?
About their complaining? Oh, did you complain about their complaining?
Give them a slap, Mitch.
I don't do touching, Steph. I don't do touching.
What are you trying to say?
He's the wrong gender anyway, my love.
Yeah, next it'd be an alien assistant. Oh, dear. Drama, you know. Yeah.
Well, they're saying they want a female doctor next, aren't they? Which I think would be really cool.
I think
it should be female next.
I'm totally up for that.
Hey, how about going gender fluid?
How about non-binary?
Well, we've had Jack Harkness, of course, in Torchwood was infamously went after men, women and aliens, as I think they put it in the series.
Pansexual.
Yeah. Well, it's a bit more than pansexual and it's aliens too.
I think it was anything that moved.
Probably.
And a few things that didn't.
I said nothing because Ivan's not in the studio.
Oh dear.
Oh no, I don't want to know actually, do I?
Ivan's busy planning.
He's planning.
He's getting ready for Pride, isn't he?
Yeah, he's planning his escape.
Yeah. So speaking of escape, have any of you ever done those escape rooms here in Bristol?
Oh, I was talking about that earlier with a friend. I haven't done one, but I'm dying to.
Yeah, because they're apparently really, really popular. Yeah. There's loads of them here in Bristol.
Yeah.
How do you do
what
it?
Are they? What is
it?
I don't know.
Exactly.
You get put into a room that's got lots of puzzles in it. Mm. Think like Crystal Maze, but small scale.
Okay.
And you have to figure the puzzles out in order, which unlock different things. And when you manage to do the whole lot, then you can get out the room.
Yeah.
And you have to do it in a certain amount of time, else you fail and they just let you out.
Okay.
Correct me if
so
I'm wrong.
Do they tell you what order things have to go
no,
in?
No, you have to follow the clues and work it out.
Oh, gosh, that makes it even more kind of puzzlesome.
Easy, wouldn't it?
Not for claustrophobics.
No.
No, but it's just my concern.
And the agoraphobics just wouldn't do the puzzles. They'd just sit there and be quite happy.
I'm not going out anyway, I don't mind.
Yeah, so long as it's not got Wi-Fi, then you can cheat.
Yeah.
True.
Oh, yeah, you can Google it.
Probably lead lined.
But there'd be no point in paying for it if you're going to do that, really, is there? It's, you know,
it's not a challenge, is it, Andy?
No, but I think it's more of a winter activity than summer.
It can be hard enough getting your own key and your lock in your front door to get out sometimes, though,
can't
it?
Quite frankly, yes.
Yeah. It's usually on the way home I have that problem after I've been via somewhere like the Bear Bar. It doesn't tend to work as well as it did the day before.
So always drink sensibly, people.
Thanks, Nat, for being sensible when in the studio.
That makes a change for you, Nat.
Yeah, that's true. Oh, on that note,
look, I just give the advice.
You don't take it, that's all.
So on that note, that is it for this week. But Pride season is upon us, so don't forget, we will be broadcasting Bristol Pride live all day this year.
Quite frankly, yes, I'm really excited.
Good link.
Sorry, if you want to listen to today's show or grab any of the info, just head online to shoutoutradio.lgbt.
With Pride season starting, like we said, next week we're going to be talking to the guys behind Western Pride. But from myself and the rest of the team, say bye-bye, everyone.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.